So thanks to the organizer for such a nice conference. I want to apologize for being the last speaker and also for not claiming anybody else is wrong in my talk. And this is what I'm going to talk about, the standard model Higgs in non-decoupled supersymmetry. So let's, okay. So the point is the following. In the MSSM, as Howie explained to us this afternoon, the couplings of the Higgs to gauge bosons and fermions go to the standard model once only in the decoupling limit. So in particular, when the heavy scalars and pseudoscalars are, let's say, super heavy. They are really heavy enough, much heavier than the electroweak scale. So there is a question in general question, is this valid in any supersymmetric theory? So in other words, is it possible that the Higgs couplings mimic those of the standard model even in the presence of a light scalar sector? So this is the question I will try to answer in my talk. And this is the outline of the talk. Is based on work done in collaboration with Antonio, who is here, and Germano Nardini in Bielefeld at this moment. And this is the outline of the talk. Yeah, unfortunately, yes. Yeah, now he's moving to DESI. Okay, so now some introduction. So I think it's clear by now that the ATLAS and CMS collaborations are finding no clear discrepancies between data and the standard model predictions with Higgs mass around 126 GeV. Now, moreover, although the MSSM solves the grand hierarchy problem, also it requires some fine-tuning. I don't want to enter in the discussion of the fine-tuning of the MSSM to reproduce the Higgs mass. Also, this was covered by Howie in his talk, which leads to a little hierarchy problem from heavy stop sector. That's roughly speaking true. And also it's true that the non-minimal supersymmetric scenarios are generically motivated to circumvent this little hierarchy problem. So the usual solution consists in providing an extra three-level contribution to the Higgs mass. And this can be done in two different ways, either by adding D terms to the MSSM mass or adding F terms to the MSSM mass. D terms require extending the gauge interactions, and the F terms require extending the scalar sector by adding singlets and or triplets. So in particular, extension with triplets have extra charged fermions, which can eventually increase the decay rate into photon-photon if some excess is confirmed by future data that we don't know at this moment. So what I will do is just, I will concentrate for simplicity in the simplest model, including a zero hypercharge triplet. Okay, and that's the model. The model is very simple. It's just the MSSM plus a zero hypercharge triplet that can be given this representation like a 2x2 matrix. So it contains an extra neutral and two charged supermultiplets, which are coupled to the Higgs sector in the superpotential in this way. Essentially, there is a coupling lambda where the two Higgses, H1, which is H down, and H2, which is HU, H up in my notation, they are coupled to this matrix. And this essentially will be the only dimensionless coupling in the model with respect to the standard model couplings. And of course, there are the mu terms here. There is no cubic term, so that's the most general renormalizable superpotential. And it is easy to work out in this theory, and in particular, the minimum equation along the field extra this one, psi zero, fixes a relation which is just the product of psi 0 times the square mass of this sigma superfield. It's a sub-breaking mass. It's just a function of the, let's say, the other parameters like mu, mu sigma, and so on. So in particular, in the limit where psi 0 goes to 0, then this mass m sigma goes to infinity, and of course the Higgs doublet triplet sectors decouple. This is produced by a tadpole in the triplet generated when the Wagner expectation value of the Higgs doublet is different from 0, precisely. So then, one worry about this theory, I will not go in great detail about that, is that, of course, electroweak observables. And here, even at tree level, you have to pay attention to those parameters, in particular to the chi parameter, because, as I said, the triplet Wagner expectation value contributes to the chi parameter at tree level, as it is very well known. Which means that there is a bound on this psi 0 coming from the experimental constraint on the T parameter. This just is telling you that the Wagner expectation value of this field is at most a few GV, which imposes, unless of fine tuning, of course, a certain hierarchy. Which, as I showed in the previous transparency, the previous slide, where the mass of this this is the soft mass of this sigma cannot be smaller than something around 1.5 TeV, and we will assume this condition because motivated by these electroweak observables, and also it is very useful because it simplifies greatly the problem of analyzing the structure of the theory, because as a matter of fact, this hierarchy implies decoupling between the scalars, not the fermions, only the scalars, in sigma and in the doublets, in such a way that the potential for this theory is just the MSSM1 plus this quartic term. So that is very simple. And this simplifies a lot. This is the Of course, you have to pay attention not only to to the tree level, but also to the loop observables coming from fermion triplets. And this is just a sample of S here, contour lines of S and T coming from triplet fermions for given values of those supersymmetric parameters. You can see that they are rather controlled. And also from the Higgs sector, where MA is the mass of the pseudoscalar in the doublet. And you can see also that those are very well under control. Okay, so this is one thing. The other thing, of course, as you can imagine, is the issue of perturbativity. This is an issue which has to be considered. Of course, it has to deal with high scales, with high energy, but I mean, it's good to have a look at this. What happens is that the evolution with the scale of this coupling lambda, which couples sigma to H1 and H2, is driven to large values at high scales because this is the beta, the corresponding beta function. So depending on the initial value of lambda, it will be driven to large values at high scales, and eventually it can reach a Landau pole at some scale, and it should. which means that this theory is really becomes non-perturbative at some scale, and it has to be somehow UV completed at some scale smaller than the Landau pole. Just to give you an idea of this, and those are contour lines for constant value of the cutoff, depending in the plane tangent beta lambda. So depending on the value of lambda and tangent beta mainly determines the initial value of the top Yukawa coupling. So you have that the Landau pole is located at some value of the scale. So for instance, here is 10 to the 12 GeV, 10 to the 10, or whatever. So this is not really a big problem, because you can complete, if you want, the theory by completing the triplet, this extra triplet that you have added, to the adjoint of SU5. And this will strengthen, okay, as you can see from here, this will increase the contribution of G and G prime here at high scales, and eventually you can just succeed to have that the Landau pole is far away and even achieve the same unification as in the MSSM. But okay, that's... Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. For tangent beta large, there is no effect at all, yeah. Okay. Now let me come just to study a little bit more in detail the structure of this theory and the origin of this claim in the title, standard model point. So in the, I'm working in the approximation where I'm completely decoupling the triplet from the doublet. So this is very convenient for numerical calculation, although we have also done the full analysis in the paper. But at this point, it's very useful to have this 2x2 matrix, which is the mass matrix for scalars. And it has this form. It's very similar to what Howie showed this afternoon, except for two things. One thing is that I have explicitly introduced one loop corrections coming from the stop sector and from the sigma, from lambda couplings, which are proportional to lambda. And the second thing is that here there is this term, extra term, with respect to the MSSM, which is positive and which can compensate MC square, eventually depending on the value of lambda. So this is... That's the structure of the mass matrix for scalars, CP even scalars. And of course, the usual procedure is just you have to diagonalize this mass matrix and you have to rotate the the original states, H1 and H2, into, let's say, little h and capital H by an angle alpha. So then alpha will come from the diagonalization of this matrix. So now the point here is that fixing, of course, it's like in the equation that how we wrote, this is a 2x2 matrix, not very difficult to diagonalize. And so there are, in principle, and there are two solutions, but the equation fixing, for instance, the light or also the heavy, but in particular the light state, appears in this way. No, it's just a polynomial in ma square, where the coefficient of ma square and the independent term just depend on the rest of the parameters, tangent beta, lambda, and of course the Higgs mass. And there is no term which is quartic in ma, because the lightest Higgs mass should be controlled not by the scale of supersymmetry breaking, but by the weak scale. And that's the reason. So those are the explicit values for capital A and capital B. Well, I said nothing very illuminating. But in general, if you solve this equation, so you can find, you can solve for MH and just, or you can fix MH and you can determine tangent beta as a function of the other parameters. This is what we have done. So in principle, beta is no longer a free parameter, but it is a function of lambda, and of course, for a given value of the pseudoscalar mass. So this tangent beta will be, from now on, will be an independent, dependent parameters of lambda. So the only free parameters will be lambda. However, for any value of MA, we can independently fix A, capital A, and capital B to zero. And this can be done because you have enough parameters to do that. So in principle, you have tangent beta as a function of lambda, and then if you include this extra constraint, so you will fix lambda, and then you will fix tangent beta. And then this at this value of tangent beta and lambda, the Higgs is pure standard model. This, I can show you this plot. This is a plot of beta, using the previous slide, as a function of lambda and for given values of MA in the plane tangent beta lambda. So here the ellipses correspond to MA equals to different values. So this little one correspond to 130 GV, then 135, 140, 145, 55, 200, and then the dashed one corresponds to the decoupling limit. So let's say 500 GV or something, that's enough. So then what you can see is that all lines cross at a given point. Precisely, this point is the solution to the previous equations, capital A equals to capital B equal to zero. And since this point is common with the line corresponding to the decoupling limit, this point shares all the properties of the decoupling limit, even if it corresponds to small values of MA, whatever it is. So in principle, you have such a solution for any value of MA, which is larger than MH, the value that you have fixed. And in particular, for the values of the parameters that we have considered, I will study later on this, the variation of these parameters. So this point corresponds to tangent beta equal, and lambda equals to around 2.7 and 0.9. So this is the point here. So in general, here every line has two thickness, different thickness, a thick one and a thin one. And it is because beta as a function of lambda is not a single value function, but it has two solutions. So we will denote from here on always in thick line the solution corresponding to large tangent beta and thin line the solution corresponding to a small tangent beta. But okay. No, it's not a fixed point. No, fixed point in the sense is not a renormalization group evolution or something like that. No. Is the solution to this when you try to find the the mass eigenvalue, the solution, you diagonalize a 2x2 matrix, and that's the general expression for the expression for the light eigenvalue. So it has this general form, the expression. Now you can just compute beta as a function of the other parameters, just fixing MH, and that's it. And these are the ellipses that I showed you in the next slide. And a particular point corresponds to fixing A equals zero and B equals zero. And this gives just one particular solution. This is the point where all curves cross. In particular, at this point, you can check that the relation between MH and the other parameters are the same as the relation between MH and the other parameters in the decoupling limit. Because if you do MA going to infinity, you just neglect this B, and this is A equal to zero. So it's precisely the well-known expression that you are using very often. No? So that's the reason that there is a common point here. Now, okay, it's for sure that this this point is there. And this is a plot of alpha, the rotation, in the plane as a function of lambda, along the precisely the curve beta as a function of lambda. So beta is a function of lambda, and then you can write the rotation alpha as a function of lambda. So then you can see that the, for different values of MA is as before, with the same color codes as we had before. This dashed line corresponds to the to the decoupling limit. So all the lines cross at the given point. This given point is just given by a value of alpha, alpha c, let's say, where sine alpha c is, well, here it is minus 0.35. And at this point, this relation holds. Alpha is equal to beta minus pi over half, which is just the relation that holds in the decoupling limit. Okay. Good. Now, then, okay, you can just, you have all the ingredients now to study the Higgs couplings. So in particular, the angle alpha determines the Higgs couplings, which I will denote by little r, which is just the Higgs coupling normalized to the standard model couplings. So those are, of course, those are the values of the couplings at three level, so the usual ones. And of course, at the standard model like point, it's clear that one reaches the standard model values. Since alpha is beta minus pi half, you have that r zero is equal to one for all channels, for w, c, top, bottom, tau, all of them. We can just plot those couplings, the different couplings as a function of lambda, again following the line where beta is a function of lambda, just to reproduce the Higgs mass at 126 GeV. And again, you can see the same phenomenon. Of course, those are the different lines corresponding to the different values of MA, from 130 to, let's say, decoupling, and this is 200, whatever. So you can see that, again, this coupling is just equal to 1 at this point, precisely. And for values, for different values of lambda, it just departs from the standard model by some amount. But what you can see is that for some, so this value is going to reproduce the standard model results for sure. And then it is possible to have also standard model values, but with the sign flipped, so which is this minus one. So depending on the mass of the pseudoscalar, so you can reach minus one for the for the for the coupling of the Higgs to bottom or tau, which is just also should give the same results as in the standard model, as there is no there is no interference with, between the bottom and the other particle. This should be the case for the top, but for the top this doesn't happen. It's down, no? Yeah, yeah. For the top this doesn't happen. Again, we can see the same structure here as in the previous plots. And here what happens is that the departure from the standard model result is much smaller. It's much smaller because the scale here is between 0.98 and 1.06. So you can see that the departure from the standard model point is not really going to give a strong variation with respect to the standard model, although you can get, of course, some variation depending on the value of lambda that you are fixing. The same for W's and the C. Again, you can see again here the structure of the standard model point here, and for the different values of MA. Here you can see that this standard model point corresponds to the solution for large values of tangent beta, large values which are not so large, you know. Remember, there are 2.7 or something like that. And also here, the departure is also not very, very much, let's say, it's not very important. It's it is between 0.9 and 1, so all the... And finally, the only thing that, we can have a departure, but again, with the same value, is for the coupling of the Higgs to gamma-gamma, but this there is a common point here, and this is not, of course, this is not the standard model point, because we have included other particles in the loop. But still, the result is the same for all values of MA. And here, okay, we can get this meeting point here at 10% difference with respect to the standard model, and this is produced by the Charginos that we have fixed to a low value, so 104 GeV, and we just have fixed everything to have these Charginos in such a way that M2, this sub-breaking Majorana mass, is not a free parameter, it's again a function of lambda, so it's also just fixing, it's just depending on this value, this is a different function. So in this particular case, for the value of lambda C is of the order of 160 GeV M2. Okay, so that's the point. Now, of course, we can analyze the different Higgs production rates. Those are the couplings, but we can analyze the Higgs production rates at LHC. So using these values of the coupling ratios, little r, we can compute the predicted signal strength, we call capital R, of the different decay channels, so which is just the production sigma times branching ratio normalized with respect to the standard model results. And of course, we can do that for the different production mechanisms, gluon fusion, associative production with the top, vector boson fusion and associated production with a W or C. And those are the general expressions that gluon fusion and associated production with the top are equal, and vector boson fusions and associated production with a vector boson are also equal. And they are just dictated by the couplings, by the different couplings that we have used in the previous slides, and divided by the branching ratios normalized with the different couplings, the respective couplings. So that, those are the expressions. So that's we can just plot this. In particular, the process produced by gluon fusion. So let me just, we have fixed, as in previous slides, the Chargino to 104 GeV, and the rest is just fixed by lambda, let's say. This is the only free parameter. So here I plot this strength by gluon fusion for a fixed value of MA. I have fixed MA equals to 140 GeV. You can do for other values of MA, of course. And then you can see here different lines. The red line is just photon-photon, is the red solid. Here there are two lines superimposed here, and this, which is bottom-bottom, which is the orange solid, and the tau tau, which is the dashed, the blue dashed. And finally, this dot dashed correspond to WW and CC. So here, what you can see, okay, here, this point precisely is the standard model point that I was talking about. So it corresponds to this lambda equals to 0.89 or whatever, something like that. And here, there is an excess of photons, which is of the order of 20%, but this is produced by this value of the Chargino mass. I will show you a plot where this can be different, of course, can be smaller, and I can imagine that one can even flip the sign, but we didn't try that. So when we just move away from the, let's say, the standard model point, what happens is that some couplings go, in particular, the BB coupling. Remember that there is a big variation. And then, and this, since the branching ratio of the Higgs is dominated by bottoms, so it three. Okay, it's fine. It will be suppressed by a small amount. Of the, this explains this increase here. And at the end, there is here this other point where also we have that the bottom Yukawa coupling is equal to minus the the standard model value, and it also has a very similar results. This is for vector boson for gluon-gluon fusion, so very similar for vector boson fusion. We have really a very similar picture for the vector boson fusion. Of course, now the heavy Higgs is not very heavy, and we can just study. How could you detect, or if you could detect at this moment at LHC, the decays of H? So what we will find is that only the decays of H into bottom and taus are sizable, and they are really very small at this moment, is of the order of 10%, the standard model rates. Those are, this is the value of the heavy Higgs, let's say, for MA equals to 140 GeV. So you can see that depending on the lambda, its mass is a bit different, but it's always between 135 and 140. And finally, this is the plot of the strength of this heavy Higgs by gluon fusion. So you can see here that they look only at the thick lines, and then if only you take the this standard model point, which is 0.89 here, you will get 10% of production for the bottom and the tau, and the other rates are completely negligible, so they, it will be invisible at LHC at this moment. Just, I'm about to finish, just this is the, depending on M sigma, this is the range of the critical point, this standard model like point. So you can see that there is not a big variation. It goes depending on the value of M sigma. Here I'm taking between 10 TeV and 1 TeV. It will go from tangent beta will be between 3 and 2, let's say, very, very short. And this is just my last slide. So this is just the production of diphoton production as a function of the critical, let's say, value of lambda for different values of the of the Chargino. So this is we have considered for 104 GeV. This is the red line, and for heavier Charginos, of course, the production rate goes down to the standard model. For 200 GeV, you have something like 1.1. and so on. So you could really just decrease the rate of photons, and that's it. Yes. Yeah.
When do you get this 40% enhancement? What is lambda c exactly? So then.
Lambda c is explained in the previous slide.
Yeah. Yes. What is it?
So if you go with values of m sigma, very light, let's say 1.5 TeV. So you will get the maximum enhancement at this standard model like point precisely. This is only at the standard model like point. Yeah. So so this let's say what I have presented in the previous transparency is just a particular point here. So it's 0.89 here, is this point only where I have this, but. For other values of lambda c, which correspond to different values, lambda c depends on m sigma, essentially, only that. And yeah. No, no, it's not only the it's just of course, you know, it's yeah, of course, yeah. If the tripletino. Okay, just conclusion. So in our model, we can mimic the signal strength of a standard model Higgs. A similar effect should happen for the MSSM plus singlets, except for the diphoton rate, of course. But for the rest, the existence of the standard model point should be similar. Of course, some small deviation from a pure standard model Higgs can also be described, which essentially depend on radiative corrections. Of course, when different channels will be measured with more accuracy, one should make a global fit to all data, and then one can select regions at different confidence levels. So the standard model point is not really a point, but it is a region. No? For the moment, it is a wide region. And unfortunately, we still have to wait a few years. It still happens. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for this nice talk. Any more questions? Sorry, maybe I missed. So this lambda C is the definition you have for lambda C? As a function of M sigma.
Lambda C is the value of lambda at the standard model. At the standard model like point, only that. Okay. You can be also away from lambda C. I mean, you can move a little bit, as you can see here.
No, but I guess I miss why you prefer. So what is the plus of being at lambda C? Or
this is the value. This is the value of lambda C. This is one
for a given value of M sigma.
But of course, you can be away from lambda C, and in that case, for you can say that a particular region like that, if you want to put bounds on gamma gamma and WW whatever, so then you will find a region around this point here. Okay. I mean, lambda C is really at this. Is the size of lambda of this point is determined by experimental uncertainty.
Okay, sorry. So this, I got lost at the following point. So lambda is the coupling of the Higgs to the triplet, right? H up, H down, sigma. That's
yes,
right.
Yeah.
And there's an additional parameter that is the mass of the triplet.
Yeah, soft term. Yeah, this is a soft term.
Oh. Okay, and where does it enter or does not enter?
Of course it enters because depending on the value of this mass, the triplet sector and the doublet sector are more or less decoupled.
Right.
Up to here, I'm assuming complete decoupling, but in those plots. Just considering the full theory without any decoupling.
Very good.
Okay. So if there are no more questions, let's thank our speaker again, Anton Habersmith.